Today in Business from Wired.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Today in Business from Wired.
San Francisco's killer robots threaten the city's most vulnerable. Law enforcement says that in some scenarios, a lethal robot is the only way to protect public safety. Experts say the policy will harm communities of color. By Kari Johnson. 3 years ago, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors made history by becoming the first city in the nation to ban use of facial recognition technology by local government. Recently, the board went in a different direction, giving police the right to kill a criminal suspect with a teleoperated robot if they believe there is an imminent threat of death to police or members of the public. Assistant Police Chief David Lazar said ahead of the vote that killer robots might be needed in scenarios involving mass shootings or suicide bombers, citing the Mandalay Bay shooting in Las Vegas in 2017 and the killing of 5 police officers in Dallas, Texas in 2016. Dallas police ultimately used explosives strapped to a Remotec F5A bomb disposal robot, a model also possessed by the San Francisco Police Department, to kill that suspect. A new administrative code requires a police chief to authorize use of deadly force involving a robot and to first consider de-escalation or an alternative use of force. But some civil liberties groups, San Francisco residents, and experts on police violence fear allowing killer robots on city streets. They say the policy change normalizes militarized policing and could lead to the intimidation or death of vulnerable people historically discriminated against by law enforcement, such as those with mental health problems, homeless people, and communities of color. The SFPD is still in the process of carrying out recommendations, including more than 100 related to use of force and bias made by the U.S. Department of Justice in 2016 after a series of shootings by police officers. This year, the California Racial and Identity Profiling Advisory Board, which aims to end racial disparities in policing, reported that SFPD searched black people at a rate 5 times greater than that for white residents and were 13 times as likely to use force on black residents compared to white residents. Supervisor Hillary Ronan voted against killer robots at the meeting, saying that like many U.S. parents, she sometimes worries about school shootings, but that the new policy opens a Pandora's box where police using robots is the norm. The tool begs to be used, she says. It might be used originally only occasionally, but over time, people get less sensitive. Peter Asaro, an associate professor at the New School in New York, who researches automation of police force, agrees. Giving police this option means they're going to use it when they should be looking for other options, he said. Asaro also believes that authorizing lethal police robots could be self-defeating. Suspects might be more suspicious of attempts to negotiate via a robot if they know it could be armed, he says. Asaro is co-founder of the International Committee for Robot Arms Control, a group working on an international treaty to ban killer robots. San Francisco lawmakers were asked to sign off on police use of killer robots because of a process set in motion by a 2021 California law called Assembly Bill 481 that requires local oversight of the funding, acquisition, and use of military equipment by police. The law is intended to give local governments the power to guard against the militarization of law enforcement agencies and explicitly says that equipment is used more frequently in black and brown communities. In nearby Oakland, AB 481 led the city's police department to request lethal use of force involving teleoperated robots, but in October, police withdrew the request. One effect of AB 481 is to add local oversight to hardware like the kinds obtained through a U.S. Department of Defense program that sends billions of dollars of military equipment, such as armored vehicles and ammunition, to local police departments. Equipment from the program was used against protesters in the wake of the police killings of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014 and George Floyd in Minneapolis in 2020. Earlier this year, San Francisco Supervisor Aaron Peskin amended San Francisco's draft policy for military-grade police equipment to explicitly forbid use of robots to deploy force against any person. But an amendment proposed by SFPD this month argued that police needed to be free to use robotic force because its officers must be ready to respond to incidents in which multiple people were killed. In some cases, deadly force against a threat is the only option to mitigate those mass casualties, the amendment said. Ahead of the recent vote, Brian Cox, director of the Integrity Unit at the San Francisco Public Defender's Office, called the change antithetical to the progressive values the city has long stood for and urged supervisors to reject SFPD's proposal. "This is a false choice, predicated on fear-mongering and a desire to write their own rules," he wrote in a letter to the Board of Supervisors. Cox said lethal robots on SF streets could cause great harm, worsened by SFPD's long history of using excessive force, particularly against people of color. The American Civil Liberties Union, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights have also voiced opposition to the policy. The San Francisco Police Department has disclosed that it has 17 robots, though only 12 are operational. They include search and rescue robots designed for use after a natural disaster like an earthquake, but also models that can be equipped with a shotgun, explosives, or pepper spray emitter. Supervisor Aaron Peskin referred to the potential for police use of explosives to go wrong during the debate ahead of the vote. During a 1985 standoff in Philadelphia, police dropped explosives from a helicopter on a house, causing a fire that killed 11 people and destroyed 61 homes. Peskin called that one of the most atrocious and illegal incidents in the history of law enforcement, but said that the fact nothing similar has ever occurred in San Francisco gave him a measure of comfort. He ultimately voted to allow SFPD to use deadly robots, but he added the restriction that only the chief of police, assistant chief of operations, or deputy chief of special operations could authorize use of deadly force with a robot, along with language that urges consideration of de-escalation. Granting approval to killer robots is the latest twist in a series of laws on policing technology from the tech hub that is San Francisco. After passing a law rejecting police use of tasers in 2018 and providing oversight of surveillance technology and barring use of face recognition in 2019, city leaders in September gave police access to private security camera footage. Supervisor Dean Preston referred to San Francisco's inconsistent record on police technology in his dissent. "If police shouldn't be trusted with tasers, they sure as hell shouldn't be trusted with killer robots," he said. "We have a police force, not an army." San Francisco's new policy comes at a time police access to robots is expanding, and those robots are becoming more capable. Most existing police robots move slowly on caterpillar tracks, but police forces in New York and Germany are beginning to use legged robots like the nimble quadruped Spot Mini. Axon, manufacturer of the taser, has proposed adding the weapon to drones to stop mass shootings. And in China, researchers are working on quadrupeds that work in tandem with tiny drones to chase down suspects. Boston Dynamics, a pioneer of legged robots, and five other robotics manufacturers published an open letter in October objecting to the weaponization of their robots. Signatories said they felt a renewed sense of urgency to state their position due to a small number of people who have visibly publicized their makeshift efforts to weaponize commercially available robots. But as robotics becomes more advanced and cheaper, There are plenty of competitors without such reservations. Ghost Robotics, a Pennsylvania company in pilot projects with the U.S. military and Department of Homeland Security on the U.S.-Mexico border, allows customers to mount guns on its legged robots.
Like what you learned? Subscribe everywhere you listen to podcasts and get more business news at wired.com/business.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.